Hi, this is Stephen David. I am a pastor of Ecclesia Evangelical Fellowship. This presentation is a result of biblical discussions that we have weekly in the church with some brothers and sisters addressing the difficult passages of the Bible. The question that we have today is, aren't there really no one who do no good? Aren't there really no one who do no good? Romans chapter 3 verse 12 says, all have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. May I repeat that phrase once again in Romans chapter 3 verse 12. No one does good, not even one. Aren't there really no one who do no good? Just think about this. Especially during this COVID-19 pandemic, we see many celebrities, businessmen, employees, NGOs, and other religious folks doing great charity to help the poor and needy. Aren't these people doing good? Is the word of God true in its declaration that no one does good, not even one? How do we justify Romans 3:12 in the context of present reality, which is all kinds of people doing good to others? Does Romans 3:12 really make sense to us when we observe these people who are doing good to others? Is it true in its declaration? Is it practical, a real statement of the state of humanity? It seems even early church fathers struggled with this scripture. For example, Origen, who is a second century early church father, said that no one has done good, not even one, is a hard saying and difficult to understand. How is it possible that no one, Jew or Greek, has ever done anything good? Are we supposed to believe that nobody has ever shown hospitality, fed the hungry, clothed the naked, delivered the innocent from the hands of the powerful, or done anything similar? Are we supposed to believe that no one does these good works? This is a concern Origen expressed, an early church father of the second century. So even many people throughout the church history struggle to understand, how is it that the scripture says there is no one who does good when we look at many people who do not know Christ personally, but they are active in doing good? So how are we to understand this text? I would like to share with you 5 factors to help us understand this text, to show you that the scripture is real, practical, true in stating that no one does good. So let's look into these 5 factors that will help us understand. The first is this. When the Bible says no one does good, not even one, we must understand that it is said in the sight of God, who knows the deepest, innermost recesses of the heart. We human beings only look at the external appearance. What is right in our sight is what we judge. But the Lord goes beyond external appearance. He knows the hearts of the people, the minds of the people, the motives of the people. And the one who is all-knowing knows everything about people. It is in His sight that the scripture says that there is no one who does good, not even one. It does not say in the sight of man. It says in the sight of the holy, righteous God who knows everything. So that's the first thing we need to understand. This declaration is in light of God's view, not necessarily in light of man's view. The second thing that we need to understand about this text is that we need to explore the meaning of the phrase, no one does good. When Romans 3:12 says no one does good, what we need to understand is that this is not confined to just doing charitable works. When we read this text, we immediately apply it to charitable works. But this text need not be confined to just charitable works. Examining the context, where the overarching factor is to expose the sinfulness of men and their need for the Savior, the meaning of no one does good seems to be this. It means no one is morally perfect. No one is morally excellent in their deeds. Or no one is doing good enough to be saved by their own goodness. Because that's what we see is the overarching factor of the context. In fact, even Origen, I quoted before, the second century early church father said, if someone lays the foundation for a house and puts up one or two walls or transports some building material to the side, can he be said to have built the house just because he has set to work on it? The man who will be said to have built the house is the one who has finished off each and every part of it. So I think that here the apostle is saying that no one has done good in the sense that no one has brought goodness to perfection and completion. That makes sense, what Origen said. What he says in this illustration is that if someone transports some building material or someone lays the foundation, you don't say that that person has completely built the house because it is incomplete. In the same sense, what Origen is arguing is that when Paul says that no one does good, it means no one is doing good perfectly. No one is morally perfect. No one has brought the goodness to perfection. Do you understand this? Let us look at Ecclesiastes 7:20, chapter 7, verse 20, to help us understand Romans 3:12 with great clarity. Now, this is what the scripture says. Surely, there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Surely, there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Do you see here? When this is speaking about there is never a righteous man, there is never who does good and never sins. Everyone who does good will be sinning at the same time. They are not morally perfect. Their deeds are not morally excellent. Their good deeds are not sufficient to save them from perishing in sin. So what we understand from this argument is that when the Bible says no one does good, it speaks in the context of moral excellency or perfection, or the people's good works are not good enough to save them from sin. That's the second factor. Let's look at the third point, the third factor. The sins that we do far outweigh the good works that we perform. The sins that we do far outweigh the good works that we perform. Maybe I can tell that if the sins that we commit are 99.99%, the good works that we do are just 0.1%. The good works that we do can be counted, but the sins that we commit are countless, innumerable, far outweigh the good works that we perform. That's why it is said that man is centrally evil, but only peripherally good. Man is centrally evil, but only peripherally good. Jesus himself identified this and said these words in Luke chapter 11 verse 13. Luke chapter 11 verse 13. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Observe, Jesus said, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Do you see what the Lord Jesus said? Our identity, our essential nature is that we are evil. We are morally bad, morally corrupted. But yet we do peripherally some good works, like giving some good gifts to our children. But what we need to understand is that due to this prevalent evil nature in man, man's identity is this: sinner, not good. His identity is that he is a sinner and not a good person, because he is centrally evil, centrally sinful, but only peripherally good. Let me give you an example here. When my children suffer from headache or cold or cough, I suggest some medicines like Dolo 650 mg or Cetirizine or cough syrup, because I know these are the basic medicines people take when they suffer from these diseases. But because I do so, no one calls me Dr. Stephen David or calls me a doctor. As a non-doctor, I give some basic medicines, but I am not essentially a doctor. What I am essentially is a non-doctor, but sometimes I may prescribe some medicines that I have taken it myself and it worked. But that's not my identity. That's not my profession. Similarly, as sinners, we may do some good works, but that does not make us good or righteous. We are essentially sinful. It is written in Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. We have all become like one who is unclean, and our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Our righteous deeds, all of our righteous deeds, are like a polluted garment. Another translation, Good News Translation, translates this way of these words, Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. All of us have been sinful. Even our best actions are filthy through and through. Because of our sins, we are like leaves that wither and are blown away by the wind. All of us are sinful. Even the best actions, even the best good works that we do are filthy through and through in the sight of God, because he knows about us everything. By nature, we are sinful and evil, but we do good only peripherally. So that's the third factor that we need to understand about this text. So man does not become good by doing some good works, because his sins are incomparably greater than his good works, revealing his true nature and that he is a sinner. So because of this, we are still evil. No one does good. So that's the third factor that we need to understand. So let's see the fourth factor. What is it? The good works that people do, they are not done out of their love for the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 that all things were created by God and for God, by Christ and for Christ. And Jesus said that this is what the most important commandment is in Mark chapter 12 verse 30 to 31. Mark chapter 12 verse 30 to 31. And this is what the Lord Jesus said. And the first commandment is this: and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment is not you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your being. God is the center of love. God is the center of goodness. God is the center of kindness. Now let me put it this way. Serving only our neighbor by refusing to love God is humanism, where everything that matters is humanity. So serving only our neighbor by refusing to love God is humanism. Serving only God by refusing to love our neighbor is fanaticism. It's a religious fanaticism. You're only zealous and passionate about God, but you have no love for people. You're religious, but not loving. What we understand is that serving only our neighbor by refusing to love God is humanism. Serving only God by refusing to love our neighbor is fanaticism. Loving God and out of our love for God Serving our neighbor is true devotion and love. The works that we do should be an expression of our love for God because of his love for us that we manifest in our love for people. I would like to show to you this perfect example from 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 verse 10. Now look at what the scripture says. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Do you see here then? It is in the light of God's love for us. It is in the light of our love for God that true good works are done in our love for people. So when people who don't believe in God, the people who really have not repented and believe in God, and these unbelievers may do good works, but those good works do not reflect their love for God. And therefore, they are no good, and they don't do any good in God's sight. And my fifth and the final factor is this. People do good works either for their own glory or happiness. Then don't do good works for the glory of God. You see how people, when they do good works, nowhere do we see pride bulging as when you see them doing good works. They show off, they tell people, see, I have done this, and they post their pictures, and they brag about their good works to get attention and glory for themselves. And some people may not do this, all flaunting. But when they do that, they do it because they want to find self-satisfaction. They do it because they find personal happiness. But they don't do good works for the glory of God. Now listen to what the Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, this is what the Lord Jesus said. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. They may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The people who do good works are the disciples of Christ. And the person who gets the glory is the Father who is in heaven. Who must be glorified through good works? Not man, but God. Since everything exists for God's glory, even good works exist for the glory of God. And it is in the glory of God that there is good of people. But when people renounce the glory of God, there is no good to people either. Good works that does not bring glory to God are no good in God's sight. Such people are robbers of God's glory in the name of doing good works. Because man's sins far outweigh the good works he does. Because of the meaning that we have seen, that good work speaks about moral excellency and perfection. Because man doesn't do good works out of his love to God. Because man doesn't do good works for the glory of God. Based on all these five factors, in God's sight, there is no one who does good, not even one. There is no one who does good, and no one can be saved by his good works. Think about these people. Think about a servant who spurns the king's commands, rebels against him. Not even that. One day he spits on king's face and flees to another country, goes to another kingdom. This servant continues to lie and cheat in another kingdom also. But he also does some good works to help people. Although he is doing some good works, this servant is still arrogant and doesn't want to repent and come back to king and repent before the king. Someone reports to the king that the servant who spurned and spat on his face is doing some good works in another kingdom. Now let me ask you this question, people. Will the king take delight in such good works? Will he rejoice to hear this? When this servant is still arrogant to repent before the king, what good are his good works before the king? In the same way, people, we have sinned, we have rebelled against God. We people by nature are arrogant. We don't want to humble ourselves before God. We don't want to repent of our sins and turn to the living God. That's what man is by nature. They continue to live in sin and live for themselves, but do some good works. Are these people doing good in the sight of God? Are these people really good in the sight of the Holy God? Now, as I finish this presentation, let me end with this important notion. So what are the good works that God accepts? What are the good works that God accepts? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says that, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Listen to this. He created in Christ Jesus for good works. He created people in Christ Jesus for good works. And people should walk in them. Those people who are in Christ Jesus should walk in them. Who are those people in Christ Jesus? Who are these people that Ephesians 2:10 is speaking about? Since man is basically a sinner and cannot save himself from sin and hell by his good works, Christ Jesus came as a man and died for the sins of people. He rose again on the third day, evidencing hope in him. So those who repent of their sins and believe in Christ Jesus, that he died for their sins and rose from the dead, their sins are forgiven and they become a new creation in him. These are the ones who are in Christ Jesus. The good works done only in Christ Jesus are acceptable and pleasing to God. Now some may question, why? Why is it so that only good works done in Christ Jesus are acceptable to God? Now listen, it is because the good works in Christ are not the good works done to be saved, done to please oneself, done to attain salvation. No. They are done because these people are saved by the grace of God. They do it because they are already saved by the grace of God, and their only hope is God's grace and not their good works. And that's why they are acceptable to God. The good works in Christ are done out of genuine love for God and people. The good works done in Christ are done for the glory of God, reflecting his image. So the only good works acceptable and pleasing to God are the good works done in Christ. And even when these people sin, they find forgiveness and cleansing by the blood of Christ. And their good works are pleasing to God. So finally, those who are listening to this presentation, if you are an unbeliever, if you don't know Christ personally, my question is, where is your hope? Your good works cannot save you, my friend. Your good works cannot satisfy you. No one is good. No one does good in the sight of God. We are essentially sinful. Only Christ can save you from sin and eternal condemnation. May I ask you to look to him? May I ask you to believe in him for the forgiveness of your sins, knowing that you are sinful by nature. Only the grace of God can save you, and your good works are not good enough, because your sins and more, far more than your good works. And if you are a believer, listeners, my question is, are you active in doing good works? Because the Bible says God has created us in Christ Jesus for good works. We are saved by the grace of God to do good works for the glory of God and for the good of people. Do you understand this? We are saved by the grace of God to do good works for the glory of God and for the good of people. Let's be devoted to do good works. We are not saved by good works, but only by the grace of God through Christ Jesus. But we are saved for good works, and good works should be reflecting in our lives to bring glory and honor to the Heavenly Father. So what Romans 3:12 says is perfectly right, that there is no one who does good, not even one. So nice speaking to you, dear friends. And if you have more queries, please feel free to write to us, mailecclesia@gmail.com. mailekklesia@gmail.com. Have a good day. Bye-bye.